Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
There are bullies in the elementary school. There are some in high school. It's like kind of scary in a way.
You are one pathetic loser.
You need to show this bully that you're not going to take any more of stuff.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, Frank Peretti is known to millions as one of the greatest storytellers of our time. I'll never forget the first book of his I read, which was the fiction classic, This Present Darkness. It was an incredible book. Well, on the surface, Frank Peretti appears to have it all, but his life hasn't always been so easy. In fact, his childhood was filled with emotional and physical abuse. A severe physical deformity left Frank a relatively easy mark for bullies. But with help from a most unlikely source at school, God delivered him from this brutality, and now Frank Peretti is speaking out about his past in an effort to help parents and kids deal with the problem of bullying. You'll hear his story next here on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, proud to be part of the BSOL program, the Bachelor of Science in Organizational Leadership at Azusa Pacific University. Coursework I'm doing online, finishing up some of the stuff I started back when I was in my teens and 20s. If you are in a situation like mine where you want to finish off that undergraduate degree and then move into a graduate program, I highly recommend what APU is offering through the BSOL program if you want to learn more about it. Go to apu.edu. Today on the program, we're going to talk about bullying and talk about with an expert, a guy who unfortunately had to live through this experience as a child, but now speaks out against bullies and bullying. Frank Peretti is with us today here on the program. And now with part one of today's broadcast, here's Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, a very special guest. Frank Peretti is with us. We're talking about No More Bullies. Frank Peretti is a noted author and speaker. His first fiction novel was This Present Darkness. It appeared on Bookstore Journal's bestseller list every month for more than 8 years. Incredible, incredible book. Married to Barbara. They live in the Pacific Northwest. Frank, it's a privilege to have you on the Homeward broadcast.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Today we're talking about an incredible subject, the fact that the wounded spirit is borne out by many, yet often it can't be seen, and we've been afraid to talk about it. But you've written a book called No More Bullies for those who wound or are wounded. In many ways, it comes out of your own life story, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. It's a story I've been wanting to tell all my life. I am not that different than so many people. I was picked on. Mm-hmm. I was bullied. I was teased when I was young. I had a physical deformity, cystic hygroma, which deformed my neck and my tongue. And so I had a speech impediment, and I was very small and frail for a lot of my early school years. Mm-hmm. That puts a big target on you. The kids they single you out. So anyway, I had a lot to say about it, and I always envisioned that, boy, there's one talk, if there's ever a talk or a sermon, the talk or the sermon that I want to give is that one. But I never did, not till I was just about 50 years old. I always envisioned myself giving this talk at a Christian college chapel.
Right.
Because even in Christian colleges, you have teasing and harassment and bullying. Right. Turned out that Focus on the Family was doing a Life on the Edge event for teens and their parents.
Right.
And this happened right after the Columbine massacre, where Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris went into the Columbine High School and shot their classmates. Yeah. The month after that happened, I felt the Lord saying, Frank, you know that talk you've been waiting all your life to give?
Right.
Now's the time to give it. And I spoke to the Life on the Edge crowd, and I just, man, that was tough. I just spilled my guts and told about what I'd experienced. It's all in the book.
Right.
Yeah, No More Bullies. I put it all in there. But that was tough because it's the first time I ever talked about it.
When you were in school and these bullies were making fun of you and you talk about it in the book, what did it make you feel like?
Well, I grew up basically taught year after year as part of my educational experience, that I was an outcast, that I didn't fit, that I was ugly, that I talked funny, that I couldn't do anything, that nobody wanted to play with me. That's how you learn this in school. You know, the learning process is you drill every day. So yeah. You learn like your multiplication tables or spelling or whatever. You work on it every day. And you learn it and you learn it and you learn it. Well, when you come to school, old kindergarten, you're no good. You're ugly. You talk funny. We don't think you're something wrong with you in first grade. You know, you're kind of strange and everybody knows it. You're the one that doesn't fit. You're different. Second grade, third grade, every day, little bit of drill. By the time you've finished your educational experience, you have learned it.
Yeah.
And it's become a part of you.
It becomes a part of you. Now, yeah. Taking you back to that experience where you're talking to these kids, you're reliving this incredible painful moment. And I even saw in your eyes, your eyes went, oh my goodness, you know, this was even hard. So it must have been even hard for you to share that story with these kids, and yet it had been so many years.
Since I talked about it, it was fascinating. Even at that event, it was the adults who came up to talk to me about it. The stage guys that were running the lights and the sound and some of the other speakers who were there, they came up and said, wow, we've never heard anybody talk about this before. Then they began to open up and tell about their stories. Right. The kids out there, they all identified, of course, but when you're young, you don't talk about it.
Yeah.
It's real tough for kids to talk
about.
Sure.
Did you think you were the only kid like that?
That's one of the fallacies of this. That's right. One of the lies I try to address is, listen, you're not the only one.
Right.
And it's important. I tell people that, and I say, now don't take that as just, you're not the only one, you know, quit whining about it. Mm-hmm. I just want people to know they're not the only one, because I want them to realize this is part of fallen human nature. Mm-hmm. It happens all the time, and it is not because there's anything particularly weird or wrong or faulty with them. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I also tell people, please understand, it is not your fault. Mm-hmm. Unless you're just really being a jerk and asking for it.
Right.
It's not your fault. The people who harass you, who bully you, who degrade you, who violate you, they've made a moral choice to do that. And I used to think it was my fault when I was a kid. Well, of course it's my fault. I'm little, I'm ugly, I should have been bigger before I came to school. As if I had any control over that. It's very important to understand that it's somebody else making a choice to violate you. No human being deserves to be treated that way.
Were you angry at God?
Yeah. Yeah, I was. I remember having many conversations with God. Why have you done this to me? Why have you made me like this? Why can't I be different? And that in itself is a whole other area that a person has to work through, is coming to grips with God and finding a purpose in it, finding peace in it. Someone once said to me, and this was in the early days, it was right after I'd written the book, they said, well, God used it, didn't he? Mm-hmm. And I was on the radio. I said, God used it. Then afterwards, I began to think about it, and I said, man, I guess I wasn't lying, because I guess God used it, but I haven't the foggiest idea how. Back at that time, I couldn't think of one good thing that ever came of it. You know, just consider, not only in my life, but in the lives of so many people, the opportunities that they pass by, the chances they don't take, the risks they don't embrace, the social situations they shy away from, the challenges they don't want to embrace because all their lives they've been told they can't do it, or they're inferior, or, I don't want to go there, but what are people going to look at me, or what are people going to think of me? How much of our lives are motivated by our fear that's been pounded into us throughout our childhood? This stuff follows you,
yeah,
even into your adulthood.
Sure. And here you are, much later, still talking about it, but it has followed you, and you feel mm-hmm. it deeply. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want you to talk to the parent out there who maybe has a child who's kind of getting bullied. Mm-hmm. What kind of advice would you give to that parent? But we're going to take a break right now. I'm Jim Burns. You're listening to Homeward.
And you're listening to a program that Jim recorded on location at the International Christian Retail Show in Denver a couple of years ago. Frank Peretti is Jim's guest. We're talking about a book that Frank wrote called No More Bullies, and another novel called Monster. They're both kind of intertwined, and they talk about Frank's experience being bullied as a child, and now how he speaks out to parents and also to kids, for those who bully and for those who are being bullied. If you want to learn more information about what Frank has written on this topic, go to homeward.com and keep it right here. More of Jim's conversation with Frank Peretti coming up.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Dude, my dad just put the decoder on our satellite dish. You should see what I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, right. What channel is it?
Who cares? I'm just enjoying the visuals myself.
Yeah, and this stuff's cool with the folks?
Not home right now, buddy. It's just me, my remote, and some highly educational TV show with lots of hot foreign betties.
You're such a liar.
As of this very moment, my man, I'm becoming an expert on the nude beaches of Saint-Tropez.
Ah, no way.
Ooh la la.
Well, welcome to the 21st century. It's a time when a teenager can type in one word, click a mouse, and be exposed to more pornography than you probably have seen in all your entire life. The primary responsibility of teaching and training and protecting children is a biblical mandate. Well, go to our website for our internet usage contract. You can download a free copy when you log on to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Frank Peretti, an incredible conversation. We're talking about a book of his called No More Bullies for Those Who Wound or Wounded. But actually, we're talking about his life in many ways, because as a young person, if you've just tuned in, Frank was bullied in a big way. And today, many, many years later, still struggling with it. Frank, as you know, is a noted author and speaker. His first fiction novel was This Present Darkness. And as I said earlier, it appeared on Bookstore Journal's bestseller list every month for more than 8 years. An incredible, incredible work of art. But he also has written Piercing the Darkness, The Oath, The Visitation. These are all wonderful fiction books, as well as his brand new book, Monster. Frank, a lot of parents are listening, and their hearts break when their kids come home from school and say, you know, I was made fun of, or these different things. And sometimes a parent doesn't know what to say to their kid. What do you suggest?
One thing that I've been railing against ever since I wrote this book is this attitude, this idea that, well, kids are kids. It's part of growing up. We've all been through it. It'll make you strong. I was on the radio once, it was a call-in, and a father called in and said, yeah, I know what you're talking about. My boy was picked on, and the kids on the bus, they threw his books in the water, and they threw him down, and he came home, his shirt was torn, and he was bruised, and he was crying. And I said, are you ready? Here it comes now. Oh, son, don't worry about it. Just ignore them. Just hang in there. Someday they'll graduate and go their way, and you'll graduate and go your way. You just have to be strong. Keep a stiff upper lip, da-da-da-da-da. What that parent is basically saying to his child is, son, tough nuggets. Mm. I'm not going to do anything about it. No one's going to do anything about it. It's part of life. All the authority figures in your life have basically ordained that this is going to happen to you. Mm. When I was growing up in school, that was basically what I believed. And this is important to remember when a kid is going to school, especially if it's a good kid. He does what mom and dad say. He does what the teachers say. Now he is trapped between mom and dad, who force him to go to school because he needs to be there, and who tell him to just keep a stiff upper lip. And teachers, on the other hand, who are saying, well, just stay away from them. Well, just ignore them. And are you ready? And don't you be a tattletale. I grew up basically believing that, well, this is supposed to happen to me. All the adults in my life have basically said, through their actions or their inaction or their example, that this is supposed to happen to me. I guess I'm just going to have to take it. It's wrong. It is wrong to violate another human being. It is wrong to desecrate God's creation. It is wrong to inflict injury on someone. We dress our kids up warm against the winter. We make sure they look both ways before they cross the street. We make sure they eat their vegetables and take care of themselves. Then we send them into an environment where they are stabbed through the spirit. And when they come home bleeding in their spirit, we say, oh, we all gone through it, no problem. If you're going to ask Frank Peretti what parents ought to do, the first thing I'm going to say is, don't make excuses. Don't just shrug it off. You do something about it. Your child is being injured. Yeah. Your child's being injured, and these injuries, listen to me, folks, these injuries are going to follow those children throughout their adult life. How many adults out there are still carrying wounds? Sure. I've got letters. I've spoken with adults. There's a high school counselor lady I talked to. This is just one example. Who went to school. She wore a red dress that her mother had made for her. They had a name for her. That they were making fun of her because she was overweight. They tripped her. She fell. She tore the dress. She went home. Her mother just screamed at her for tearing this brand new dress that she just made. And you know, ever since, that lady has not been able to wear the color red because it reminds her of pain that she experienced as a child.
Now, take us through what you call the playground parable.
It's very necessary, very useful. It'd be great if you could establish a godly foundation for the value of every human life, okay? Right. The Columbine thing, just to quickly refer back to that again, when Eric Harris went in and shot his classmates, he was wearing a t-shirt that said natural selection. He believed in evolution, in natural selection, the survival of the fittest. The logical outcome of that philosophy is, well, there's nothing wrong with killing other people. Animals kill and eat other animals. Why don't we kill our classmates? Sounds bizarre, but that's the moral foundation. Yeah. In the playground parable, I try to show how dangerous it is when we remove any sense of right and wrong, and God is the ultimate source of right and wrong, from the awareness of people. Right. Imagine the playground all full of kids, and they're all playing, and the reason that the playground is a pretty safe place to be is because there are playground rules, and there's a teacher on duty. Remove the rules, remove the teacher behind those rules, now you have all these kids just doing whatever they want. And the big question that I always ask is, on a playground like that, which child's will is going to become law? Well, the answer is easy. The biggest, meanest, toughest kid. This is a world in which might makes right, and there is no right or wrong. And I issue a warning in No More Bullies. I'm saying, folks, do not leave God out of the equation. Because it is in our Creator God, that's where we derive our value as human beings. That's where we derive our ultimate sense of right and wrong. If you try to build an argument for the value of every human life, and you shouldn't bully and you shouldn't pick on people because, well, just on account of because, you're going to fail. But if every human life is precious in the sight of God, and if there is a God who loves us and looks down and really requires that we respect each other, you've got yourself a better argument.
Well, you do. Now, things started to change in your life when just one man showed even a small amount of concern and kindness.
The last person I ever thought. Yeah. The last one. This was my gym teacher. He was the tough guy. He had the t-shirt and the whistle and the clipboard. He didn't talk to you. He yelled at you. Line up. Let's go. Move it. Move it. Move it. I was afraid of him. But it was my gym teacher who came to me and said, "You okay? You doing all right?" For some reason, he saw that something was wrong. And I was amazed that this man, of all people, would show compassion. But it made a difference because this was the first authority figure in my life who took the time to bend down, look me in the eye, and truly ask me, "How you doing?" Right. They didn't say, "Oh, just keep a stiff upper lip, move it, move it, move it, it'll make you strong, oh, don't be a whiner. What's the matter, they picking on you?" This was someone who really cared.
Right.
I wrote him a letter. I was afraid to talk to him, but I wrote him a letter. I detailed not only what had happened in that class in that year, I detailed what had happened in the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that. He wrote me out a hall pass, sent me to the high school counselor. This is in high school now. And I finally got a chance to talk to someone who really cared. And we got my classes changed. And that changed my life because I got out of gym class and I got into drama class. But I also realized, you know, there are some things I'm good at.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's all you need is a chance.
Yeah, one man believing in you. Frank, I've got to ask you to come back next time and fill in the rest of the story. But thank you for being with us. And can you come back next time?
I'd love to come back.
Fabulous. Okay.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation here on the Homeward Broadcast with his special guest, Frank Peretti. This is a program that we recorded a couple of years ago, and airing it for you again now, especially this time of year, just as a reminder, there are so many kids who are going through bullying seasons and so many parents who are watching this, and we know it's happening, and we're not quite sure what to do about it, and hoping that Frank's conversation with Jim Burns is giving you some information, giving you some hope. Of course, you can go to homeward.com and go to the articles and media section, type in the word bullying or just bully, and you'll find some information there. And Jim, it's always helpful when someone of the stature of Frank Peretti comes forth and shares his story with us.
I have so much respect for Frank Peretti for telling his story. He really didn't have to do that. He's a successful author already. The abuse seemed relentless, but then the deliverance was also so incredible. And look what God has done with this incredibly successful person. You know, he sold over 12 million books and really has a thriving ministry. And yet, even in this conversation, goes back to the incredible pain. And he felt the pain. You could see it on his face as we were having this conversation. But what I appreciate about Frank was that he knew by bringing up this very painful story, it would help others who were being bullied, and I appreciate that, and I think it's real encouragement to a lot of our listeners today. I wanted to conclude the program today with a story about a girl I'm going to call Marie. That's not her real name. I actually met her when she was in second grade. We were in a reading group together. And I'm very embarrassed to say this, but I was a bully. Not a terrible bully. I just basically ignored this girl. She was somewhat homely, and I was a little bit more of a popular kid, and I never talked to her. I had her in third grade through 12th grade, Roger, and I never talked to her once. What happened was I was embarrassed. I can remember walking down the street to Anaheim High School where I went, and she was on the same side. She lived right around the corner from me, and I went to the other side because I didn't want people to think that I knew this person. I mean, I didn't even know her. She was quiet. She was shy. She was introverted. She was very smart. And one day in 12th grade, I had become a Christian when I was a junior in high school. I was walking by, and for some reason, I looked at her, and she was sitting by a tree. She was eating a brown bag lunch by herself, and I walked over to her. And she gave me the weirdest look, like, after all these years, why would you speak to me? I hadn't been rude to her, except basically ignored her. And I said, Marie, would you like to come and sit with us for lunch? And she looked at me, and she said, no. Well, the next day, I walked by. I know she was sitting there by herself, and I invited her again, and it didn't work. So I asked one of the girls to go over there and invite her, and they invited her, one of the girls in our group, and Marie came. And she said, Jim, why are you people doing this to me? I mean, why are you being so nice? And why are you bringing me to this group, this Christian group? And I wish I could say that I was articulate and that I shared my faith, but I basically said, well, God has kind of changed our lives and, you know, I hope he could change yours. And she started to cry. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, I always had lunch by myself until you invited me that day. She said, in seventh grade, I ate lunch by myself. In eighth grade, ninth grade, she went through each grade. And I said, you mean to tell me that you ate lunch by yourself every day in school? She said, yes. You know, I couldn't imagine this because I had lots of friends and, you know, lots of fun things going. And I wish I could then tell you that we prayed and everything was okay, but, you know, I just kind of went, gosh, I'm so sorry. 7 years later, I'm at an event. I'm speaking after going to graduate school. I'm speaking to about 500 kids. There's a woman in about the third row, and she looks like this Marie. She came up afterwards and she says, do you know who I am? And all these girls are around her. And I said, you're Marie. She said, I am. She said, you know, I'm the head of the campus life area here for girls, and I wanted to say something to you. Well, you were speaking. I wanted to say thanks for inviting me for lunch because that really made a difference. Well, Guy, tears kind of welled up in my eyes because I went, how rude I had been to this person. What's fascinating is there are Maries in every school, and perhaps it's even our children at times. Really, our goal as parents is to make sure that our kids are not a Marie, but our goal is also to help our kids understand that there is a Marie in every school. And that we're called to love that Marie. When you've done this to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you've done it to me. It's a great learning lesson. I have never been the same from getting to know that person through those years and actually have felt remorse that I didn't get to know her earlier. Today, she continues to be a wonderful mom, a wonderful lay minister in her church. And I'm so grateful that not me so much, but some of the other girls from the Campus Life Club went over and invited her in. Sometimes bullying isn't just teasing like what happened to Frank Peretti, but it's just ignoring. And many kids feel nameless in their schools because no one is paying attention to them.
Boy, I wonder, Jim, you hear that story about someone who goes to a high school reunion, for example, and they look back and they wonder what happened to some of these people who were just kind of ignorable. And that's really kind of a crime that those of us in the body of Christ and the faith community can do a better job of reaching out to. Frank Peretti's written a couple of outstanding resources on this topic. One is the novel called Monster. The other one is No More Bullies, that is kind of his biographical account of what it was like for him him growing up and how that one PE teacher came to his rescue and said, hey, wait a minute, we got to get this kid out of here and get him into drama class and help him find things that he's really good at. Jim Burns highly recommends the writings of Frank Peretti in this area on bullying in particular. If you'd like to learn more about these resources, just check us out online at homeward.com. Go to the radio broadcast section and you'll find Frank's name listed with today's program. Just go ahead and click onto it. It's hotkeyed. Take you right to the Frank Peretti website. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.